Welcome to That's What She Said, a podcast of sermons preached at Galileo Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, near Fort Worth, Texas. I'm Katie Hayes. My pronouns are she, her, and hers, and I'm the lead evangelist at Galileo. Galileo Church exists to seek and shelter spiritual refugees, who for us are people for whom church has become boring, irrelevant, exclusive, or even painful. Especially people who have been pushed out because of their gender or sexuality. If you yourself are a spiritual refugee, we're especially glad you're listening.
Hey, how's everybody? Had a little frog in my throat. Okay, here we go. You all look good. Wasn't it a beautiful day? Man, it was awesome out there. All right. Human beings were meant for freedom. All human beings. Jesus reminds us of this truth in his mission to proclaim release to the captives, to open the eyes of the blind, and to let the oppressed go free. Unless we have freedom, freedom to be who we are, not who people think we should be or tell us we should be, not who our families want us to be, not who we even think we should be, but who we really are, the people created by God. Unless we're able to have that kind of freedom, we will live life unfulfilled. Without freedom, human beings are stifled from creativity, held prisoner to a life we were never meant to live. Well, such was the case of that unnamed slave girl in Acts chapter 16. In this evening's preaching passage, we find a girl. She's not just any girl. She's a girl oppressed. She's a girl in captivity. She's a girl enslaved to the patriarchal privilege of at least two human traffickers. They were pimps, takers, who exploited her for their own selfish and monetary gain. She is the kind of girl with whom Jesus would stand with in solidarity, of this I am sure. And yet, in the text, Paul wants her silenced. She's oppressed and loud. She's marginalized and talking back. She is subordinated and speaking truth, yet Paul wants her quiet. You know, whenever a human being is subordinate because of their gender, race, sexual orientation, or whatever, they're gonna feel some kind of way. Something in us will demand freedom. She will cry freedom. She will sing freedom. He will write freedom. They will blog and text and tweet freedom. Human beings will shout for freedom. Because fundamentally, innately, we know that we were not created to be silenced, controlled, dominated, or exploited. We were created for freedom. Without it, without freedom, human beings are stifled from creativity, held prisoner to a life we were never meant to live. Such was the case of this unnamed slave girl. Paul and his companions, while on their way to prayer meeting or while on their way to church, became acquainted with this teenage girl. Now, they didn't just run into her. They learned who she was. They knew her backstory. They knew that she was a victim of exploitation. Paul and Silas met a slave girl whose value was tied to what she could produce. They met an unnamed girl, a nameless girl, who at that very moment was being trafficked by hustlers. She was a victim whose gifts had been monetized. Now, I know some translations attribute the enslaved girl's fortune-telling ability to a demon, others to a spirit. In the context of first century Philippi, the girl's unique ability for fortune-telling was attributed to a spirit of Python, the name of the snake that inhabited the Greek city of Delphi. Legend had it that the snake was killed by Apollo. At Delphi, there was also a priestess of Apollo who would on occasion fall into an intoxicated kind of trance and deliver oracles or speak for Apollo. The oracle's name was Pythia. This slave girl's ability was connected somehow to the oracle Pythia. Now, in my research, I discovered something interesting about this Greek word Pythia. We get from it the word ventriloquist. Mm-hmm. The etymology of the word ventriloquist is Pythoness, a reference to the oracles of Pythia. A ventriloquist speaks on behalf of something, an inanimate object unable to speak for itself. Was the slave girl's ability demonic? Scholars differ. What is clear, at least to me, is that she had a gift, one that enabled her to tell the future. We know that it was an effective gift because the text says it made her traffickers a great deal of money. So whatever the source of her unusual gift, whether spiritual or psychological, it is clear that her owners were exploiting her abilities for their own gain. You know, this is the basis of all slavery. One person or group of persons exploiting the bodies, the gifts and skills of others for personal gain without any concern or thought for the victim. Unfortunately, the girl and her gift fell into the wrong hands. You see, when our gifts fall into the wrong hands, we're vulnerable to abuse. When our gifts fall into the wrong hands, we're often mistreated. When our gifts fall into the wrong hands, we're exploited, controlled, and manipulated. The enslaved girl and her gift were in the hands of unscrupulous men. And yet, say it with me, and yet. And yet, something within her anticipated release from their captivity. Something within her would not keep silent. That something within was loud, it was persistent, and it angered Paul. Y'all who were at Mansfield board meeting last week, you know something about angering the powers that be, right? Speaking up and out. Day after day, the slave girl followed Paul and his companions shouting, so much so that Paul became annoyed. In fact, the text says Paul became exasperated. Now, exasperated is a strong word. Exasperated means that Paul wasn't merely ticked off. He was irritated, incensed, infuriated. Y'all, Paul was mad as hell, emotionally frustrated and sick. I'm glad I can say hell here. Yeah, Paul was mad as hell. Emotionally frustrated, sick and tired of hearing her voice. So, in his frustration, not in his compassion for her, in his frustration, not in his desire to free her from the bondage of her traffickers, in his frustration, not in his concern that she be treated humanely, but because he was exasperated, he exercised the gift out of her. Because he was irritated, he silenced the noise of her shout. Don't you find it interesting that it wasn't until the slave girl became a nuisance to Paul that she was loosed from the control of her traffickers? Her oppression had become an inconvenience to Paul, and so he spoke to the spirit within her and it left. Now, if I had time, I would talk about how our ability to kill and destroy in others that which we misunderstand. But I don't have that kind of time right now. Paul ordered the spirit out of her because he was annoyed. Beloved, when the freedom of the powerful are inconvenienced or disrupted by the loud voices of the marginalized, then and only then will they take restorative action. Without disruption of the status quo, those who benefit from it will remain insensitive to the plight of the oppressed. You know what I mean. Hashtag Me Too is a disruption. Hashtag Black Lives Matter is a disruption. Hashtag Never Again is a disruption. Hashtag Born This Way is a disruption to the status quo. These movements make it clear that we've got to speak up in order for change to happen. Change that enables freedom, equality, and safety for all. But beloved, you and I both know that freedom isn't typically handed to us on a silver platter. In the words of Afeni Shakur, that is the mother of Tupac, freedom ain't free. It must be wrested from the grips of those who oppress because they will not let it go willingly. The slave girl obtained her freedom because she was an irritant and a nuisance. But the text is silent about her freedom. This is one of the things that intrigued me about this text. What happened to her after losing the ability to tell the future? Was she discarded, no longer useful? Was she thrown away? Who was she anyway? Did she have a family to go back to? Was she able now to provide for herself? Because of Paul's exorcism, was she now subordinated to a status of triple marginalization, female, formerly incarcerated and jobless? Was her situation made worse? See, we must be careful with our helping. Sometimes our helping hurts. When our helping doesn't address root causes of poverty, we simply provide band-aids to gaping wounds. When our helping gets people off the streets but doesn't provide them opportunities to earn a living wage or start their own legal nonprofit business or legal business, we set them up to go back to what they know. The slave girl was set free from her captors, but what happened next? We don't hear any more about her anywhere in the biblical text. They didn't hear about it in Capernaum. They didn't hear about it in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians or even Ephesus. What happened to her? What happens to people after we've helped them? Well, it is clear that in church and society, all voices don't have freedom of expression. Some voices are privileged while others are deliberately silenced. The silenced are missing from church and corporate boardrooms. The silenced are missing from executive level management. The silenced are absent from communion tables. Not here, of course. The silenced are missing from pulpits and classrooms. But that is not the way it ought to be. God invites all to the table. None are to be silenced. In Christ, there is freedom from silence. I was so excited last week to hear Katie O do the communion and words of institution and meditation and share her story. She used her voice. See, resurrection is freedom from silence. The enslaved girl refused to be silenced about the good news. She confessed that Paul and Silas were slaves too, just not the kind of slave she was. They were slaves of the Most High God. Freedom from silence is the ability to use our voices and our very being for the full expression of the divinity that lives within us. You see, Jesus was sent to proclaim release to the captives, to open the eyes of the blind, and to set the oppressed free. And that means every last one of us, in here and out there. That means every human being on the planet is worthy of freedom. Living into our full human potential is our birthright. Nelson Mandela said it like this: "For to be free is not merely to cast off one's chains, but to live in a way that respects and enhances the freedom of others." Which is why we all must work together for the freedom of the oppressed, for the freedom of the marginalized, and those who have been thrown away and disenfranchised. God has set us free. God has set us free in Christ to help facilitate freedom in others. Ashe.
Thanks for listening to That's What She Said. Galileo Church has four missional priorities. We do justice for LGBTQ+ people. We do kindness to those in mental and emotional distress and celebrate neurodiversity. We do beauty for our God who is beautiful. And we do real relationship, no bullshit, ever. To support the ongoing production of this podcast and the missional priorities of Galileo Church, become a financial patron through patreon.com. Patreon lets you become a regular supporter with contributions as low as $1 a month or as high as, well, you decide. We share additional worship materials at each level of sponsorship. Any amount helps, and if you are kind enough to share your contact information with us, we'll continually send you thanks. Peace.